Welcome to Soundwalker. This is your host, David Rothenberg. This is episode 7, in which I speak with the German synthesist, musician, record producer, music manager, label owner, and general electronic wizard who's been part of the German progressive rock and improvisational music scene for many years now. And we kind of have a discussion here. It's a long one, almost an hour and a half, discussing what kind of sounds are musical, what kind of electronic sounds are worth using, what kinds are better left forgotten and unused. We each like different kinds of sounds. See if you can figure out what determines which ones we like, which ones we dislike. Sitting here, Bernhard Wüstheinrich, master synthesist, performer, musician, sequencer, producer, audio businessman, engineer, composer. And today we're going to sit down and have the battle of sounds. We're going to talk about sounds. What do we look for in a sound? We take a sound, we want to turn it into a musical sound. What kind of sounds do we like? How do we choose the sounds we use? And that's the topic of today's episode of Soundwalker.
Maybe we could start as if we would start a piece.
We just did that.
Yeah. So, and I did it by using something which is my main weapon for starting something. And this kind of thing always creates something that I would call a carpet or a pet. Mm-hmm. So I can introduce you to this if you want.
Yes, this idea of pad, you say carpet, that this is very original. Pad is a term, a sonic term that you hear a lot in electronic music.
Yeah.
Before there was electronics, the word pad was used, but how would you define what a pad is to the uninitiated?
So to me, a pad is something that kind of plays, in fact, it plays the role of a carpet or maybe also the role of glue. So it glues things together or it gives a certain context.
Okay, let's hear this carpet pad sound. That's the glue.
So I will just play an example. I don't even really know. And this is just one note, you know, mind that. So let's go back to D. Just hit those two notes one after another.
So tell me, what do you like about that sound we just heard? You can play it again.
I'll play it again, and then I'll tell you what I don't like about it, which I find much more interesting. So again, I hit the G, and like this wasn't one note, this was a chord.
Mm.
So this were like two notes. I think it's like a One oscillator was a fifth up again, was it? But somehow it wasn't just a note.
So you didn't like the fact it's playing not one note but two notes. You hit one key and two notes comes out. What's the problem with that?
Yeah, that means that for a performance I'm preparing, like, and preparing means I'm preparing it right on the stage. So I'm rolling out this kind of carpet and I want to have something on which I can play on top. So I need a certain, let's say, harmonical space. And if the pad or the carpet already takes up so much space or leaves so less space for to interact with it, uh-huh, it's kind of reducing myself.
Okay, let's fix it. Take off the second chord.
Yeah.
Second note and see if you can turn the sound into something you like better.
I'll just use another synthesizer, okay, because that has a very simple sound here. Just hold on a minute. What about this here? I just hit the key. see, that was one note.
Let's hear it again.
So there's a phasing in it or something, but it, in fact, it's you can actually nail it down to that note.
Yeah.
Or it only becomes a chord when I play like two together.
Okay, so let's use this to get that pad like carpet like quality that you just mentioned earlier.
So yeah, and in order to for doing this, well, this thing already still has this what they call attack. So this
the
kind of
tide, you hear the beginning of the sound. Yeah.
So this kind of calls up your attention. You know,
right,
something is going on, like.
Yeah.
So, but I wanna sneak in. You know, it's just like I don't wanna really make it too obvious. So I make it. Both the notes are kind of blending into each other.
Mm-hmm. So you like that. But you get to pick the notes, the sound isn't picking them for you.
No, yeah. Okay. I have to pick the notes, that's right. Because that's what I actually want to. I don't want the synthesizer telling me what kind of notes I can play or not. So sometimes I have an idea, or sometimes I want to explore in what scale I will end up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and therefore, the note has to be really distinct. So,
let's make it into this whole pad kind of quality.
So now this is
mm-hmm.
a pad. I actually, it's not a real pad, but it's something I can start from. You know?
How do you feel about the fast vibrato? Like, tell me what how you feel about that.
As a part of the sound, I let's say it's okay for me. It does something.
Right. What does it add? What does it add to the?
It adds a certain, mm-hmm. how do you say this? It's nervous. It's something lively,
right,
you know. Uh-huh. It's something in the sound. Although the sound, you know, starts so laid back and it blends out, in the sound something is going on. So there's a certain tension to it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so even if I lower it, you still have this kind of vibrating into it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you hear the tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's something like, you know, actually it's in those moments when you think actually everything is all right, but you still feel nervous. Something
uh-huh.
is not right, or you're not sure.
Right.
What
uh-huh.
what is it? You know, I'm
uh-huh.
like, this is a sunny afternoon. I could just hang out,
uh-huh.
but I'm nervous, you know. And this
you
is,
want to convey some sense of anxiety
yeah.
in the sound.
Or like, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of a wider attentiveness or something, I would call
like
it.
Like a wider attention to what?
To maybe to the thing that will come soon.
Okay.
So is this already everything? Is this the whole piece?
Uh-huh.
What does it do?
How do you feel you're listening to a sound that, you know, it clearly sounds kind of electronic as opposed to something that you could associate with some acoustic instrument? Does that, do you hear, do you listen to such sounds a different way, or it doesn't really matter to you? All sound is sound? Or?
I would say that, first of all sound is sound, but obviously with acoustic instruments, well, the quality is different. I would just say different. You can achieve different things with different instruments. So I mean, a sound of like a quality with the quality we just listened to. I mean, I can imagine that this can be done with an acoustic instrument, maybe kind of a string instrument,
uh-huh.
but it would sound different. There would be more moving, more changes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the main fascination with electronic music. You can have sounds which are kind of going over what you would think that is natural. I mean, now we can think of, is electronic music unnatural, or is it a different mm-hmm. way of being natural?
Right.
But like, compared to the sounds we are used mm-hmm. to, like the normal sounds we hear on the streets or out in the nature,
mm-hmm.
like you would hear those sounds very seldom, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a purity to the electronic sounds made out of oscillators and sine waves, like the history of electronic music, where by now these sounds have a history, and we hear something like that, you know, it goes back to the early days of electronic music
yeah.
when such sounds were created. Whereas today, sounds coming out of a computer, they could be anything. You can play, like, you know, something that's just the sound of a stream or something, and, you know, sorry, not that one. But I was thinking of a stream like this. You know. This is just water going across rocks. And, you know, it's also coming out of a machine, so it sounds like it's a machine. But you have the beginnings of the instrument are, you know, comes from like a sound in nature.
Mm.
And there's the question of whether a sound like that lends itself to anything musical.
But how is it for you then, with all the structures and all the details in this sound?
I mean, when I started out making music with machines and electronics, I specifically tended to avoid these more synthesized sounds because I felt like it sounded like old, it was something really electronic, and I wanted to make instruments that seemed they could be electronic, but they sounded like there was something organic about them. And yet it intrigues me that today old synthesizer sounds are described as being organic as opposed to the digital precise sound of today.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, when I'm playing these sounds, the whole thing unsettles me. Like, I'm looking for something the machine can never give, like going out and listening to a real stream. Like, I want something that maybe isn't there. And like, so I don't know what I want to play, you know. You know, I'm interested in different things that might happen that surprise me, you know. You know, so it interests me that this buzzing noise comes from, you know, from a stream.
So what are you doing now? Is it, would you consider it more as making music, or would you more say that it's like inspecting the sound, as if you would put it under a microscope or something?
Both. I mean, it totally feels like making music to me, because I want to make a music I haven't quite heard, a structure I don't quite know, and the fact that it comes from a stream that suggests things that I didn't expect, I like. And one of the reasons I know that playing a laptop and a computer, it's much more precise. But when you're playing, we're playing on an iPad here, touching the screen is more immediate, and the kind of immediacy intrigues me.
Mm.
Though at the same time, it bothers me that, you know, the sounds are just not as precise. Like, I can bring up a computer version of the same sound here. We just pull up a, you know, like the... It's, you know, something that the computer offers the same thing as if I can find, this is the Brooklyn Pond, close enough, some sound from the Brooklyn Pond.
Okay.
And, you know, it's sort of part of it. Let's see what it comes out like. Okay. This is like a plant underwater sound.
But this is already preceded by granular...
Both of them have been granulated.
Okay.
But it's a little bit more...
But if you...
I find that, you know, we're playing the same kind of techniques and... So even though it's far away from playing normal chords and things...
Well, it isn't far away.
Yeah, but the fact to me, I'm sort of interested that the sound comes from noises inside a pond. You know, to me, the source of it interests me. But in a way, playing the simplified version on this little screen is sort of more directly satisfied and played. And, you know, so I think you and I look for different kinds of electronic sounds. Like, I want a sound, I can't quite say what it is, where it comes from, what it's like, and I want to be able to kind of, like, quickly change it in some way I don't expect. So it sounds like it's played. And when I started doing this kind of thing, I didn't like these sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have things that sounded like acoustic instruments from another planet or something, that they sounded like, you know... some sort of real thing, but we can't quite say what it is, because as we know, when an electronic instrument sounds too much like a violin or a clarinet or something, it's woefully unsatisfactory, because it's something about it.
Yeah.
But what do you have here? It's here.
Well, your other instrument is the clarinet, right?
Right, and what it comes down to is usually, if I end up thinking if I want to play, why don't I play this real instrument all the time? That would make a lot of sense, but somehow... sometimes for the same reasons as you, I'm playing alone. I want to play with myself, so then part of me is doing electronic things. And part of it is the story of making music out of nature that is part of my musical identity. And you know, people like this idea that it blends in. And so but I often do question it because it's so much more organic to blow into something that makes sound. But still, I want to play these electronic things too. Sometimes I wonder why, but I keep doing it, but
because I'm asking this, because I do think that this is very important. Because you play this instrument, that means you already have this how can I say it? You play those distinct notes. You have this one sound that gives you kind of, or you can answer in a very straight, very. Defined way, you can add some notes, you can add musical phrases. This is not the thing you lack.
Mm-hmm.
So, and therefore I can, this is the way I would imagine that you might say something different if I'm wrong, you know. But maybe don't take it wrong, no offense, maybe those toys you just showed us, like making a pond to something, like a different sound, or so maybe that's Is it so interesting because it's so different from the clarinet?
I think it's a good question. I think part of it is that it suggests this different senses of musical structure, you know, and different senses of rhythm. I think we're all interested in rhythm in music. I'm particularly suspicious of the kind of regular, exact, sequenced beat that boop, 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 you know, that any other kind of rhythm interests me, that varies and changes, because I guess I hear that sort of life is like that. It isn't so synchronized, and yet in the end I often, like all of us, end up doing music that's regular, has a regular beat and synchronized, because people like it. But I also like, you know, a beat that's sort of like this, or, you know, you would change the length, would just sort of change, you know, that could go and could repeat, and then it could change. It doesn't have to stay the same. Like, it would interest me. Like, you know, I would still hear it all as rhythm. It doesn't have to be this repeated thing. It could just kind of move along, and I would still feel it's like rhythmic. You know?
Well, of course it's rhythmic. So, So this means this could be the... kind of the grounding for an improv you do with the clarinet then, right?
Or with some anyone, or alone, or with other musicians. Like, it doesn't... I do find if I add something like a clarinet, it adds something, you know, clearly humanly musical in a different context, but it doesn't have to. Like a few times people ask me to come play on their projects and just play quiet insect sounds and strange noises, and it was a little, I felt a little odd doing that. But in the end, when I heard the results, like, okay, I can see why they wanted this.
Yeah.
You know, so that, but there's always been this question in electronic music, how much should its structures and sounds be based on all the history of such things, and how much does it suggest completely new possibilities? Because the people who developed this technology, they kind of imagined it was the future, something totally different and new. Most of them were disappointed when it became so useful to pop music. That's not what they had in mind.
Yeah.
And yet, it is sort of what else would you expect that makes the technologies useful? That's the what fueled the development of the technologies, that so many people wanted them.
I'm asking for this, for the clarinet, because I'm playing now another sound, which, you know, in terms of an electronic sound, many people would say this is just boring. Like this. What is it? Something. I don't know. You may call it like an electric version of a piano. Super boring. But I do like it. I'm using it very often in my performances, because it has the quality of an instrument. So I can I can do simple things with it, like. So given that this is an electronic instrument, it has some ways of, you know, expression within.
Yeah, it's an expressive sound. It has, it has the electric piano qualities. You hit the note harder, and you hit overtones, and it's kind of like, and there's this side of electronic music that, despite all the new sounds people have produced, the more complex sounds ends up sounding like sounds instead of instruments. And there's a tremendous interest in the earlier sounds that you could really play that were more clear. And, you know, a friend of mine, the composer Eric Sawyer, he always said, I remember when we were in college together, that it's important that the piano has a boring sound. That's why so much interesting music is made from it. If you have a sound that's too interesting, you just want to hear it. You don't want to combine it and make more.
And there's another fact to it, and this only, I think I only understood it like recently. It's also important not how the sound itself sounds, like with this one note, it's also important how the sound develops within the octave, you know. So let's see, well, obviously it's changing, but I find it very, for me it's very important the way how a sound changes over the octaves, because this sound alone, the quality of this sound, makes it really possible to do a lot with it. So I can have lead parts with it. At the same time, I can play the bass line with it. It has enough power.
Just play something. Just a little. Play something on the sound.
There's a whole spectrum of like frequencies within the sound, and they're not clashing. It's like more like they work together nicely. So
I would say the sound has like three good octaves, and either the two high ones or two low ones, you start to miss things.
Yeah,
like because it's well designed in that sort of area in the middle.
But you know, let's go back to the other sound again and try the same, you know?
Okay.
So we start in a very... Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't have a big keyboard here. I have to switch up and down.
Fair enough.
You hear this, but... So for me, unlike the other sound, this really becomes muddy in some places.
Yeah, very much so. This is the sound you can play like two new notes at a time maximum.
Yeah. And you know, you
just in one area, and it has lots of, you know, the famous, actually, the word, what you can call the famous bugbear of electronic music.
Yeah.
Like the bugaboo is that everything has too much reverb, too much delay, because these things expand a sound and make it larger than it is.
Yeah.
So one gesture. And of course, we all want to be bigger than we are. So it sounds like it's in a place, it repeats, everyone loves it until you realize it's just everywhere and the sound loses its presence.
And I mean, it's cool to start with a sound like this, mm-hmm. because it just, you know, inspires you, just opens some gates, mm-hmm. but then you really have to pull it back very, very quickly, because you cannot do anything with it. So let's say you have this theme up here. So I'll record it right away so that we have an idea. Oh, sorry. Stop it. So we have this here, for example. It's actually already a little bit too much, but anyway, let's keep it this way. So we have this kind of pattern now. Mm-hmm. And now I think, well, we need a bass, so it doesn't have a bass now, like a defined bass note. So I'll try to add a bass in the very same sound here. Where is it? Ah. Doesn't really make sense to me, because
why would you want to add the same sound to make a bass? Why would you expect this sound would also work well as a bass?
Like in while playing live, sometimes it's just practical.
You have to, right? Yeah.
It's just practical to not switch the sound.
Yeah.
So now it doesn't really make sense to me, because it's like so muddy. You don't really, and it doesn't really add some rhythmical stuff to it. So unlike this here, and it's not even a bass sound. So this is easier, and I still like, I can now play this here. So this is like a bass line, I would say. And now I don't change the sound. I just go like two octaves up. So I also can use the very same sound for lead lines of melody. So this is something this is a very technical thing, of course,
mm-hmm.
but this is something I have in mind when combining sounds. Mm-hmm. How, I don't know if this is the right word for it, how versatile are they, you know?
Exactly, of course, the piano is such a versatile sound, it's been around for hundreds of years. The organ is a versatile keyboard instrument because you can change the sound, but it also quickly gets in your face. It's less versatile than the piano. And then every manner of keyboard in between has to reckon with it. The harpsichord is not very versatile sound. Every time you hit it, it's the same volume. And a lot of these beautiful synthesizer sounds are not versatile. They only make sense in single lines or in very simple chords. You can't pile too many of them on top of each other.
I mean, and that's what I think, you know, when I what I was thinking when I asked you about the clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, obviously you cannot loop the clarinet just like that,
mm-hmm.
but still you can go down and you can go up, and you cannot change the sound anyway. But
mm-hmm.
this instrument, it in itself gives you already so much possibilities that all the electronic stuff is just, you know, it's just reserved, or it's like in the department of, you know, giving something into it. Or like,
it gives you kind of structure, like, you know, often I'll play along with one bird song, and then you successively slow it down. It has all this rhythm, it has all this structure, and you just let it go. And it, you know, is, you know, it gives an element to the piece where, you know, where it gives a structure you don't expect.
Yeah, kind of a structure that you don't expect. Right. I think that's a very important thing, you know, or a structure you might not have been able to come up with on your own.
You would never come up with some of these things. Yeah. Like that it comes from these odd sources. It's one of the reasons I rarely use looping.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's too obvious a kind of repetition. Uh-huh. And it's a whole like genre of music that believes in it, and every other genre is vehemently against it.
Yeah.
Saying it's too repetitive, like, you know that, you know, it's so tempting because you have this pattern, it repeats, and we know from all this great music psychology studies, like Elizabeth Margulis's book on repeat, people love repetition.
Yes.
They rarely get bored by it. Even if they say they get bored, they actually love it. You know, we actually like this kind of repetition.
Yeah.
And so you shouldn't worry about it because people love it. But, you know, I like the idea that everything's constantly varying. And you know, even like in... when you're using sequences that constantly vary, it's also playing on the same things, ways to have a sense of repetition, but also variance.
Yeah.
But the sense of these sounds, I think it is always, I don't know how you feel, I've always felt the question that the problem with electronic sounds is they're never quite what you want. You're always looking for another one.
Yeah.
Whereas look at these pianists, they know their instrument's just going to make this one sound. They spend a lifetime trying to get it right, and they're not looking for new pianos or new piano sounds. They're trying to play the instrument better. And that can be very hard with electronic music, figure out how to play the instrument better.
But I get it. I hear you. But on the, I mean, like, it's just, I think that people who are, you know, this have this ongoing interest of finding in new sounds that they should look in a different direction. Because in many cases, I think, well, now you're trying to fix something that you a certain lack that you have on the harmonical layer rather than in the sound, and this kind of need or this urge or this hunger you may feel that something has to change is just because that there's not, that musically there's not enough going on in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, a pianist, I think he's very much concentrated on what is the music giving him to him, or what does the music.
Yeah.
And since there's so much music provided nowadays, people don't even start to think of the music. And there's a difference. I mean, there's a difference between this or that. I mean, this is a color to me. And I don't even mind the sound right here.
Yeah.
For me, it's more interesting. There's a what is it like? Why is it? What does it do to me? This.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have those three notes, what is the?
I like this sound. This is expressive sound. It has some resonance, some harmonic overtones. And when you hit it harder, then it changes the tonal quality.
Yeah.
So it has this expressive quality.
And the good thing is, look, this is another thing about boring sounds.
This isn't a boring sound.
But you know,
it's not an overly.
You know, in terms of like electronic, you know, how do you say this? People who are really into electronic music, they may sound this is boring. But what I also like about this sound, look, this is now it still sounds like something like an electric piano. But wait for it. So I just, with a few tweaks, I just completely changed the sound. So what happens now?
So you change the attack of the sound. You change the tonal complexity.
Yeah.
Simplify it a little bit.
Simplifies. It's not even something super difficult, or you don't have to have like a super special machine. It's just...
Yeah.
But, you know, you... In the context of the music I like to do, this is something I can use, you know? So, I'll try something out here. Ah!
I think we heard that sound enough.
Yeah.
We understand what it has, what it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry, this was by accident. It's too many things going. So let's go back to this here. I try to loop it now. So it will take some time. Just wait for it. Five notes down, but it's still the same song. So now I'm going back to the original sound, more or less. It's a little bit different. A delay on it, but anyways, so you see I can have so many variations just from starting with this one simple sound. This is something I really like, so I don't want to mess around with like dozens of synthesizers and dozens of different sounds. It's very interesting for me to start with one basic thing and then build this up to something complex, or to put it in a different way, you played this pond or this stream to me. This may sound a little bit corny, but I want to be that stream, you know. I want to be the complex thing, you know.
You want to be the stream.
Yeah, I want to be the stream, right, and in order to become that, I need a simple sound to start with, and not super complex thing, or a stream already, you know.
You don't think you could become the stream by playing the stream?
Yeah, but
you would like find your way into it.
Well, yeah, of course I could do this, but that would be a different approach, apparently.
Right, yeah. I mean that's often why, you know, the majority of people making music with either instruments or electronics, they don't want things that sound like nature sounds or sounds people can recognize. They go more for what Pythagoras called the acousmatic, a sound you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That makes it interesting. So I can't say what that instrument is that you played, especially when the attack's taken away. Then it's really interesting. You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It almost sounds real. It doesn't quite sound real. When the attack comes back, it gets more cheesy and like it sounds like an old keyboard. I start to think I know what it is.
Yeah.
And then it's farther away from this mystery in a way.
And there's another thing. I mean, while we were doing this, you noticed that, you know, some little accident happens. You know, by accident, I forgot to switch off that sound, and this was still going, or suddenly there was this delay I forgot about, or I haven't seen it, you know. And you may say, well, this is something, you know, I'm not really well prepared, or I don't know, I'm nervous, whatever. But if you really think of it, this is a part of the whole process. So this part of what is unpredictable, I consider that this is already a part of me, and this is something I, in the first place, I don't like, because I think, you know, again I forgot something, again I was nervous. But if I really, I should take it as granted, I should take it as the point that opens things or breaks things up. It's in me. So I don't want to be, or I don't want to have the sound itself, the synthesizer, that doesn't have to provide too much, you know, random. Because the main random factor is me, you know.
Right. You want something you can play.
Yeah,
but do the sounds change how you play, do you find?
Pardon?
Does a different sound means you play it all differently?
Yes, of course. I mean, this is a sound, of course, still has this quality that it inspires me to do something completely different. So I'll switch over to another synthesizer that works different. Or would you like to show something here?
No, keep talking. I thought maybe we could play a little bit, thinking about this mixture of, you know, water versus sounds, and just sort of see what happens, recognizing, you know, that the uncertainties that come along. So I thought I would try some sound that has a wateriness to it, see what happens. Not watery enough, but we'll just go. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of liked it because I really was, I couldn't really tell who was playing what sound. Most of the time I was making sounds, I was pretty sure you were doing them. Because I was, instead of picking sounds that I knew, I picked sounds that I had rated highly at some point.
Okay.
In a list. in our rating conscious culture, we had 5 and 4 star sounds. I couldn't remember why I had them. And then as I'm playing, I said, this is something I would never play. It must be Bernhard playing the sounds. And then I realized, like, no, looks like I'm doing it.
Well,
there was some
talents I picked on purpose because they are so different from what I just spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
And these are actual samples. So where is it? And I use this because, of course, I at some point I also felt the need to go away from those two unnatural sounds.
Yeah.
Although I don't really mind it, it like the result was always a little bit, straight, too.
So where did the samples come from here?
This is very easy. It's just down here. We have the Admiralbrücke, the Admiral Bridge, where all the tourists hang out because it's such a sun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I just took my mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing particular. It wasn't
like a phone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, right. Okay.
Let's
hear the sound on its own.
That's difficult because
just play, see what happens. So we now hear exactly to you
because it's modified very.
Right, so what happens? Yeah. Okay.
So I make it a little bit louder. Just hold on a minute. I may change the way out. Maybe then it's more obvious. The modification is very strong here.
Yeah.
This is something different. But anyways.
It's definitely a sound that does a lot when you hit the key.
Yeah, so it's like this. If you see here the waveform, it's like a recording of something.
Yeah.
And you know, I sometimes like from performance to performance, I just change the content of the sampler here.
Mm-hmm.
And the more variations that are in the sound, the better the sound is for me, because so I have
let's just hear you play it a bit. Just play the sound a little, like just play as an instrument. What happens when you play it?
Okay, just hold on a minute. So there's one thing you can't see, then there's something a certain randomization into it. So
we just want to hear it.
So you see, I'm hitting the same.
Play a little bit on it, just a little
performance. So this is something I would actually, or it's not intended to be used in this way, actually.
I like it. I want to hear you play it again. You know, imagine you're like now performing on this sound. You just play. Thank you. Yeah, I like the sound. I like the hard to place nature of it.
Yeah.
So why do you think people like reverb and delay so much? Why do we like all these sound effects? And almost any sound you look up or approach is always drenched in these effects. Why?
I don't know. I mean, like, I used it right now a lot. But for me, it's important that... So I have to say that before I answer your actual mm-hmm. question. So it's the effect itself is ever changing as well as the sound. There's the raven in the distance, and we can
right in space. Yeah. But I remember once you were writing somewhere like, electronic musicians, can you please turn off your delay pedals? What did you have in mind when you wrote that?
I don't think that I wrote that they should switch off the delay uh-huh. pedals, but I was asking for setting up different speeds.
Right.
Because I noticed, mm-hmm. especially with all those electronic improv mm-hmm. performances you can see and hear in Berlin, mm-hmm. They seem to forget that the delay adds a certain rhythmical context to everything, which is cool. But now you can actually one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. So you have this pulse. And you know, it would be great if people would understand that this pulse can be changed, because this
right.
would add a certain different quality to the whole performance.
I mean, I agree with you. I feel like this is the obvious thing. You have to have, it gives something more presence, but it also makes it more obviously repetitive.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, being repetitive is an artistic decision in itself. So if somebody wants to have it for, let's say, 1.5 hours in order to kind of hypnotize people, I totally respect this. But in the most cases, I don't think that this was a decision. It was more like by accident.
Well, I think people like it. It makes something have a beat. It makes it instantly more musical in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
This sounds like music. It repeats. The reverb gives something a sense of space, like it makes it large. It's in a place. Like, and yet both of these effects make a sound cloudy and make it, you know, in a way more serious than it is often.
Yeah.
Like it's an easy way.
Many years ago, I had this one idea that I wanted to do one performance on stage, or maybe also just in the studio. But in this performance, I didn't want to play an actual instrument, mm-hmm. but rather two or three faders only, mm-hmm. which controls the quality of a certain reverb. I just only wanted to play a reverb to a piece or to an instrument. So this was one idea I once had. I never actually did it, but I came close to it at some point. With a performance I once did here in Berlin, but I like the idea to really reduce your abilities to change something on a very small scale of settings, and that is just sound settings.
Well, this is like the original Musique Concrète concerts
yeah.
in Pierre Schaeffer in
yeah.
Paris, where the composer would get up on stage and sit behind a bunch of faders and just turn things up and turn things down
yeah.
and maybe move them. Otherwise, it's all planned out, like you say. And so you had to, you know, those guys really set up concerts like that, and where the performer was on stage not actually playing music. And
yeah.
some people found this the most pure kind of music, and others thought, like, this is the end.
Yeah.
Just like when you go see the DJ and you wonder, is he in fact doing anything except going from one song to the next? And often he's not, because then you know it's all going to work. When you start to invent it all on the fly, then many errors may come into the mix.
But let's try
yeah.
something else with
okay.
just the reverb, you know? And,
okay.
and again, I'm just using this plain sound. Well, let's start with an even easier, plainer sound. Just to... So here you go. Nothing special. Look, there's nothing in it. No reverb, nothing.
Nothing,
there's
right,
no
yeah.
no even. So is this inspiring? Suddenly there's something. So I'm hitting just this one note. Interesting. Oh, what's that? Is it still a reverb or is it a sound already?
It just goes.
And here we go again. It's a pat. So technically, we didn't do much here, did we? So I started with a simple sound, and then I added this reverb, and then I freeze the reverb.
What does that mean, to freeze reverb?
Freeze means that it will never stop. It's just like the flag, or what we say in German.
It's the echo is just there.
Yeah, it's just there, you know, it won't go away, it doesn't fade away, you know, it's just there forever. And right away, we kind of started to... We played music then, or we kind of started to tell a story, if you may put it this way. And this is what I like, so I can... Like with those wooden blocks, like children playing with. So this is the block itself is a boring piece of wood, but you can start to build up like a big castle with towers and houses and everything. And you know, there's this other concept like our friend Volker likes so much. You know, he likes this one synthesizer so much that, you know, gives him so many sounds and involving. I don't know how to explain this. Like, it's an ongoing soundscape.
You just play it, and it makes a sound. Like, yeah. you know, it does it all. Like,
and of course it's good, and of course I like it, but it just takes away everything I actually wanted to do in this very performance, in this very moment. Why does the synthesizer does all the changes for me, and starts to tell a story, and changes over from this sound to that sound, and without warning, and then why does it add so much reverb to it, and I don't even know where to change the reverb. It's just there. So, you know, I always kind of feel a little bit cheated, because that's actually what I want to do in the performance. What do you think about it?
I'm playing a sound that maybe has those qualities to see how I feel. It doesn't make you think in traditionally musical ideas, but it's kind of interesting.
So this watery sound, where is it coming from? Have you decided to bring it in, or is it...
I knew that it was a watery sound.
So, but the moment when it came in, is it like random, or did you say
I was trying to get, I know the sound's made of water, so I was trying to find it.
Okay.
I know it has a comb filter. Too much delay. Turn off the delay.
But yeah, explain what you do. It's like you work on the synthesizer right now.
Yeah, I feel like I'm playing filters and effects based on this water. This filter turns it into resonances. So, you know, it's a kind of adjustment. You're not sure where it's going, but it's a sound you knew had something to do with water.
So, would you think that this is already a whole piece, or do you consider this more as a...
If I used that sound, I would... play other things with it.
So
I wouldn't say it's complete. You know, like a lot of electronic things are pieces to be added to and put together. But, you know, a lot of these electronic sounds are used in sound design and film and effects, and then these specific things can work well because you don't listen to them. They're just part of an ambient environment.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever you see a film where something's underwater, they
yeah.
never actually are playing what it really sounds like underwater
because
it's so boring and confining. But there's different kinds of bubbly, wet space are
yeah.
always brought in because that's how people imagine things should be underwater.
It's, by the way, it's the same case with all the sounds you hear in those movies that take place in outer space, and you hear things. And
all kinds of space music,
yeah.
It was an early sense of what electronics was for, not of this world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but this is, I don't know, like, how to explain this. Like, this is like those ongoing pictures which are like, how do you say this? Like, which are always self-similar. Like, you can zoom out and it never ends. How do you call those? What was it again?
Like recursion, like M.C. Escher or something. Or
no.
There's
this mathematical.
Like fractals.
Yeah,
right,
fractals.
Yes, right.
So,
fractal.
So
if you zoom in, it gets more complicated.
Yeah,
yes.
Fractal was the word I was looking for. Thank
yeah.
you. And to me, this is like a fractal. So
yeah.
is this an instrument? Well, we don't hear nothing. But anyways.
This one.
So. Is this an instrument, or is this already a piece?
It's a sound.
So it's a sound. You would say it's a sound. So it's
to make it music, you have to assemble the sounds together. Into
okay.
something. So that's just like a water sound. I want to do something to it.
Because there are like thousands on thousands of releases out there with this quality, and this is already everything you hear on this release.
Well, because a lot of people like music like this.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our different standards, how much it will allow to happen.
Now, therefore, I describe it as a, like a fractal, you know? You can zoom in and say, okay, this is the piece, or you can zoom out and say, this is just a piece of a piece, you know? And then put something on it, and then...
Right.
zoom out again.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for me, I come from the, you know, tradition of music that's played, improvisation, in a kind of, not so much virtuosic, but assembling meaning out of different parts. So I want to hear that someone's playing the music. So if I hear an electronic sound, I want to hear a musician. So I always like Joe Zawinul's playing, because he seemed to be one jazz keyboardist who preferred playing synthesizers to piano. On the other hand, you know, a lot of people say, look, this guy was too good a composer and performer for the music he made, that often sounded kind of cheesy because it was determined by the sounds of his synthesizers. And that they say, look, you know, the guy was making better music than his instruments reveal, because they sounded kind of cheesy. Of course, going back now, these sounds are prized as being organic and genuine and sort of like the paragon of electronics. And he also sometimes let the sounds determine what he's doing. I remember there was a film of him where he was demonstrating, you just press a button, the keyboard goes backwards, the low notes are high and the high notes are low. So you see, I play it, I have absolutely no idea what's going on. And I think... there is this side of, you know, electronic music where there's all these glitches and things misbehave that we're used to. You assume something strange will come out. Whereas if someone's playing a violin, they get very upset if a string breaks or something goes out of tune. Or, you know, that there's hardly an electronic musician, I don't know, you might disagree, who feels they have absolute control of every sound that's coming out, and their instruments always behave themselves.
This reminds me of this one experience I once had back then. In my former studio, so I had the way my keyboard was placed was in such a way that I could watch television in the same moment. Well, this was just by accident or by chance, but it wasn't meant to be like this. However, I noticed when something was on the television, like the news or something, and I was still going on playing, that everything I played was so beautiful. And I was like, while I was listening to the news, I was like, wow, this is such a great melody. I want to keep it. And only the moment that I turned over the computer and pushed the record button, I wasn't able to replay it or to do something in the same manner. So, and after a while, it grew on me that I have to be, you know, away from it in a way. So in the moment I'm concentrated on doing something special, it doesn't work. So
you have to be away from the focus on.
Yeah, I have to unfocus something. So I created I call it module. You know, that, you know, again I play a note here like this. Okay, so I will turn off this reverb, and I would like to have a simple sound. Just hold on a minute. So, in order to play a melody, I know I have those notes here. I can do something. So I every note I hit, you know, I more or less was intentional. So with this module, I was like, so I'll try to. So now I hit the G, and this happens with the module. Something like this happened. So every time I hit
you hit one note and a bunch of
things. It could transpose the notes +3 or -3.
So does it play a series of notes? Or
no. It just waited.
One different note than what you actually
played. Yeah. So I hit a note, and from that note it added up to 3 notes up or down.
It added them on top.
No, sorry.
Just moved.
It moved it. Sorry.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So and then I came very close to this experience I had. While I was watching the news, I could play something, and suddenly the most beautiful melodies came up, because it was this kind of, you know, there was this dizziness, I call it, you know, because it was always around that note. Of course, I tried a lot with this module, so the first thing I did, I set it up in the way that it could jump up to 12 notes up and down, but this was way too random. But because this was just, it doesn't have any meaning, because it was just random notes. But once I narrowed it down to +3 and -3, so I had this kind of dizzy focus around the actual note I wanted to play. It became very lyrical, very melodic. So, and this was it was really amazing. I still don't really understand how it works, but it kind of works. You know?
So why is it that we want to lose control when we're playing electronic music?
Well, I don't think we, you know, every time I tried to explain that to somebody, people really were staring at me. Well, why would anybody do this? And I was like, yeah, I had this experience while watching television that I was capable to play way more beautiful tunes than when I was focused.
I think you're not the only one. I think a lot of people feel you have to lose a little bit of control in these instruments that promise total control.
Yeah.
So let's play a few minutes of that, something where we lose control in the world of absolute control.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that was another episode of Soundwalker. This is David Rothenberg signing off with Bernhard Vestheinrich. Next time you hear a sound you've never heard before, you wonder whether you want to hear it again, whether you hope you never hear it. It was John Cage who told us, we must free ourselves from our likes and dislikes when it comes to music, when it comes to art, when it comes to progress, maybe. Well, we all like and dislike certain things. Hopefully, in the course of these strange sounds you've experienced here, you might change some of those ideas and be open to new sounds, and maybe be ready to close off some of those old ones. See you next time.